Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Her hair is hollow gold, her lips sweet surprise. Her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn her music on you.
You won't have. I believe this conversation today and potential vote today is not built based on any specific metric. I feel like this is the political desire of Mr. Adams, as he is made well known since the day after the vote in 2018. I'll start with actual metrics we do know. Thanks to this board and its appointment, our superintendent, and our amazing teachers, administration staff, our school district ranked 48th out of 67 counties in Florida. That's the highest ranking in almost a decade, and an improvement over our last ranking of 53. Obviously, we had a year without. But the last ranking in our elected format was 53.
So, Mayor D.C. Reeves following through on a promise he made during his press conference yesterday, in which he was asked, you know, hey, you kind of been into this appointed superintendent business. You think you're going to show up at the meeting later on today? He's like, oh, hells yeah. And I mean, he didn't say it exactly that way. Sometimes I embellish, you know, just to make the point. But this is actually what he said during the press conference.
Yeah, I will be there tonight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, it's kind of funny because he was there with Alex Smith, who is his chief of staff. And the very first thing, what you can do at the Scambia school board meetings is they'll allow you to donate time to each other, you know, up to a total of 9 minutes, I think, is the limit that they're running with. Every board does different things. It used to be you could donate time everywhere, and then everybody realized, oh man, this is giving us like 15-minute speeches from people we don't want to hear from. And so they stopped doing that. In a lot of the boards, you cannot do that at all. But at the Escambia County School Board, you still can. And like I said, I think it's up to 9 minutes. Anyway, Alex was there, and he donated. That's Cutie Pie Alex, if you remember from. that's right. And so he donated. So he had 6 minutes, you know, to talk, and he didn't use all of it. But basically explaining there that, you know, he thinks this is all political. Kevin Adams didn't like the idea of having an appointed school board, appointed superintendent, and so he's taken the first opportunity to get rid of that.
We also know that the number in D&F schools have been cut by more than half for the first year of measure for the current superintendent. In not one category in your five evaluations, or at least the last five evaluations, Dr. Smith had one category that was marked needs improvement from your evaluations. I believe Mr. Adams wrote in Dr. Smith's 2022 evaluation that our superintendent has done an excellent job of representing the district and advocating at local and state level for our public education requirements.
Yeah, and so it's kind of weird because the school board is not actively advocating to get rid of Tim Smith, because if they wanted to do that, well, they can. What they're actively advocating to do, or what, again, Kevin Adams is actively advocating to do, is to get rid of the power to get rid of Tim Smith. Which is, you know, kind of a weird thing. Like, politicians don't typically want to vote to give away their power. But that is essentially what was being considered last night when they were talking about this. And, you know, one of the weird things, and I do kind of agree with this with D.C. Reeves, it kind of showed up as a red versus blue thing. You know, like Republicans, conservatives want to have people have the right to say, and liberals, Democrats wanted to, you know, not have the people have the right to say, if you want to style it that way, or they preferred an appointment. But he's like, that doesn't really make any sense, because out of the entire United States, about 99.5% of all school districts appoint a superintendent. There's just a weird, rare few, a lot of them in Florida, that don't. And so it's not a red-blue thing, or you'd see it be a lot more, you know, 50-50 across the board. But, yeah, he says, look, if you want to get rid of Tim Smith, you can. And also, this is why we gave you the power, so that you could take action and not have to wait for the voters to do something.
If the opinion, was a change is needed at superintendent, our voters, with their votes, empowered the five of you to have leadership and to be able to have that discussion and to make a change. Our citizens voted to give this board the actual authority to put items on the agenda, to make decisions about leadership, and to have the ability to hold the day-to-day operations accountable.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. And like I've kind of talked about before, this is weird because the board has the power. If they think Tim Smith needs to go, do it. If they think Tim Smith needs to stay, then don't do it. But do or don't do, don't punt. You know, don't say, well, we want the voters to decide. That's kind of been, and there's no, and I totally agree with DC about this. There's no way you can say that in 2 years we've got enough data to show that not just Tim Smith ought to go, but that this whole system of having appointed versus elected has to go, that the system itself is problematic. You can't possibly show that in 2 years when COVID was the norm for, you know, the most of that time, right? So it's an impossible thing for that to be the case. And yet our school rankings have gone up compared to the rest of the state in just these 2 years. Now, how much is that a byproduct of things that were left in place under Malcolm Thomas? How much of that is a byproduct of, well, everybody else fell further behind than we did? I mean, I don't know the answer. But you can't say, oh, look, our rankings are going up, therefore, time to make a change. You know, that's very counterintuitive. All right, so Kevin Adams, when he – and there was a lot of speakers. I ignored the speakers because what I wanted to hear was why the school board was going to do what they were going to do. And so you had Kevin Adams give his explanation of why.
There was 62,418 that voted yes, and there was 61,508 that voted no.
In 2018.
It was a 910 vote difference.
Very slim margin.
Okay, and if it's going so wonderful, I don't see why all the worry. I mean, I put this on because I met people I didn't even know a couple months ago. Some back in the campaign, they all said, hey, we want to have that vote again. And I promised them during my campaign I would fulfill that, okay? Because I'm not scared of letting the voters decide an issue.
Yeah, so I understand the argument. What he's saying is, hey, if voters like what they're getting out of the appointed superintendent concept, then why are we afraid to let them say, hey, we're happy with the purchase? Well, because generally, first of all, it's kind of a weird way to style it, you know, afraid of the voters versus the need to swing back and forth every 2 years, 4 years or 6 years, asking the voters again and again and again to decide a question. 10 years is probably a little bit better, okay, as a time frame to kind of look at something like this. Even that's kind of short, frankly, because it took 4 years just to implement the darn thing, right? You know, because you had to let Malcolm Thomas finish out his term. You had to hire somebody. So we've really only got 2 years under the current system, and you want to start voting again on that. But he says, look, I was asked to trust the voters, and I think I should trust the voters.
I have no problem with this. I am going to stand beside the citizens of Skamby County. I think everybody should have a chance to weigh in, and I don't know which way it's going to go. But it is nothing about, I never even had in my mind about him, because I'm going to do what the people ask me, okay? I don't even know if he'll be there for 4 more years or two more years. But I will never stop a referendum, even if I don't think it should be done. I got to trust the citizens of Skamby County.
So his argument is, look, people are asking me for this, and I think that regardless of my own personal views, I should let them have the power to decide, right? In fact, I should give them the power to vote to decide whether they get to vote, which is what it would be, right? A referendum to return to an elected would be the vote on whether we're going to have the power to vote on the superintendent in the future. On the other hand, you know, another way of trusting the voters, I mean, one way definitely of trusting the voters would be saying, let's do a referendum. Another way of trusting the voters would be to say, well, we had a referendum, you know, so they had their say, and, you know, let's eat the pie for a little while and see how it turns out. Which, again, 2 years is really not enough time. Meanwhile, you had Patty Hightower last night, school board District 4.
I don't think there's a lot of difference in working with an appointed or an elected from the board standpoint, other than the fact that if three of us decide that the superintendent that we have put into office is not performing adequately, then we have the authority to remove that person. And I think that that's one of the things that some of you that have spoken to us tonight have forgotten. You elect somebody, they're there for 4 years.
Yeah, this, by the way, to me, is really the best argument for the appointed. is, I mean, yes, the depoliticization of it, the idea that, you know, they're just going to do the job, they don't have to do the job, and also be a great salesman, you know, to sell themselves to the voters. But those are good arguments. But the argument here is we can recall them anytime. And for people who like the idea of being able to recall elected officials, well, having an appointed elected official or having an appointed official is the best version of that. Because, yeah, it's not from the voters, but it is from the school board, and you can act very quickly, not to wait for the process of, you know, we don't have a recall provision for the superintendent. You have to wait 4 years, okay? So there's nothing you can do if they're terrible. If you got an appointed superintendent, if they're terrible, goodbye. You know, right? It's very, very simple. So that's one of the best arguments in favor of the appointed superintendent. David Williams, a new school board member for District 3.
One of the things I ran on is that we want to make a difference and continue to make a difference in our community. We're going through some extremely, extremely tough and difficult times. And as I've mentioned to many of my constituents, anyone that is would be superintendent now would be going through a very difficult time. And that's not to say I would vote one way or the other if it came up, because I'm on the fence on that. But I will be voting to keep an appointed superintendent.
So I thought that was kind of interesting, because what he said, the way I understood that, it was a little bit unclear, but the way I understood it is he's not sure whether he'd vote to keep or get rid of Tim Smith. But he is sure that he's going to keep the power to make the choice about whether to get rid of Tim Smith or to keep him, because he thinks that it's appropriate to do that. And I was relatively indifferent to the appointed elected. I'm still relatively indifferent to it, and it was a thin margin. I mean, our whole community was split on this thing. It's not indifference, but it's a high level of contrast between two evenly balanced sides. And we marginally voted in order to keep it, or in order to make it an appointed superintendent. I just think that once you make that choice, you know, sort of systemic stability demands that you stick with it for a little while. Don't go back and forth and back and forth on these things. That's the problem that I have. Not so much that appointed is fantastic or that elected is fantastic, but pick one and stick with it for a little while. We tried, you know, elected for a long time. We tried appointed now. Well, let's give it enough time to hang out there. Paul Fetsko, by the way, argued that basically it sounded to me like he was against going back, mostly because he believes that the effectiveness of a superintendent is they got to be there for a while. Switch, and Bill Slayton said kind of the same thing, that switching every 4 years is not good from person to person. And so what you want is institutional stability. Keep them there for a while. You know, if they can be there 8 or 12 years, that at least creates some benefits of stability, and you can buy into a vision and move towards it. And that's the real key to productivity in the long run, which again would be an argument for staying with the thing that you're doing, not so much because you're keeping that person, but because you're keeping the framework intact that's stable. But he says he told people he'd support the referendum, and so surprisingly, very much surprised me, he voted in to do the referendum. So the vote failed on a 3-2. I had said all day yesterday it was going to be 4-1. It did fail on a 3-2. So Kevin Adams and Paul Fetsko voted to have the referendum to go back to an elected, and Patty Hightower and Bill Slayton and David Williams voted to keep it the way that it is. So that's the way it is. It failed. 523 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You know, a lot of times I talk about, like, if you've got a home, you know, for Christina Leavenworth, give her a call and you're thinking about selling it. There's another slice of this, though, and I will tell you this for me, that when people sometimes will ask me, you know, hey, who do you recommend? I mean, I recommend Christina. Obviously, she's fantastic. It's who we would use, okay? But think about it this way. You may have a friend who's buying a home or selling. And by the way, they're getting really good deals on new builds also, because she handles the buying side too, right? Not just selling homes. But you know, basically what I'm saying is not just for you, because you might hear me talk about her and think, well, this doesn't apply to me. I'm not selling my home. Okay, but do you know somebody who is? You know, do you know somebody who's looking to buy? Well, recommend her to them as a favor, because, I mean, seriously, they're going to need to hire a realtor, and you want them to hire the best so they get the best price for the home that they're selling, right? Or the best price for the home that they're buying. Well, tell them about Christina just in case they don't listen to the show. You know, great, because you can really be helpful to them. This is exactly what I would tell people and have told people who ask me. So Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, fantastic at helping you buy and sell homes. 723-9158, 723-9158.
And tell them to listen to the show also.
Oh, well, that's true, right. Yeah, no. You could do both at the same time.
There you are.
I heard about this fantastic realtor on this fantastic show.
There you go.
That's right.
It's 524.
I'll second guest dinners with friends because they can be interrupted by diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or oily stools. It turns out I have EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, which means I'm missing the enzymes needed to digest food. My doctor prescribed Creon pancrelipase, an oral prescription medication that replaces pancreatic digestive enzymes. Creon treats EPI due to cystic fibrosis, chronic pancreatitis, pancreatectomy, or other conditions.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall, if you're allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit creoninfo.com or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's creoninfo.com.
I've been collecting watches since around 2018. Made my first big purchase thinking that was going to be my only watch. When you're looking at watches and you're doing them online, or if you're in the secondary market, it can be scary because there's a lot of fakes. And I really do focus in on coming into an authorized dealer like Berets for any of the Omega or Breitling purchases. They will let you try it on, take pictures, go home, think about it, and just really set your mind at ease.
Come visit us at Berets Jewelers.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sarah is 64 and loves to garden. Recently, her health insurance ran out, leaving her worried about more than just weeds. She called the Elder Helpline and spoke with a volunteer Shine counselor about her options. There, she received free, unbiased counseling on health insurance for those on Medicare. For more information or to volunteer, call 1-800-963-5337 or go to floridashine.org.
Get your finances in order and become financially free with Dave Ramsey. Weekdays 1 to 4 after Brian Kilmeade on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
The little movie sound clips to play or TV sound clips to play. There's a part of me that, like, I grab them and I'm thinking, is this going to work?
And my face.
And Candy's first reaction and David's first reaction was like, what in the what? And then they realize, booger.
Booger!
and then they're both, like, crying, laughing.
Oh, so man, hard. I love that movie. It's so funny. I thought I was going to grow up to date that guy. Oh. I am that guy.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah, I'm the
gross one here at the show. The pig pen.
So,
the booger.
Oh, I love that. And I know sometimes I play a clip and Candy's like, what's that from?
I'm like, mostly if it's a cartoon movie.
I didn't do well on that one.
And you'll know it from your kids, and David knows it because he's so young.
David Wayne, speaking of which, is in the news so from this morning.
Come here,
crying,
baby.
Crying
can you
through
do
the laughter.
I'm just kidding. He's so good.
A New York grand jury for the Trump hush money case is reconvening today. That case, of course, centered around the alleged payments that Trump's former lawyer made in 2016 to Stormy Daniels. The former president claimed over the weekend he was going to be arrested Tuesday, which he was not. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine is going to address the U.S. Senate today on that train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. DeWine says his remarks to the Senate Commerce Committee will illustrate to federal leaders how the people who live in the area have been traumatized by the early February incident. And rapper Tekashi 6ix9ine apparently is in the hospital today after being attacked yesterday in a gym in South Florida. TMZ says this attack occurred at an LA Fitness in South Florida. He was using the sauna. Several men rushed into the room and assaulted him before fleeing the scene.
Wow.
They have saunas at LA Fitness?
Yeah, right. Apparently. Apparently.
Just kidding. Hey, that's too bad.
By the way, just good side note. If you are ever concerned about me, maybe I don't show up for work or something, and somebody says, oh, I heard he got assaulted at a gym, well, you'll know that's fake.
Not only because you can fight back, but it's the gym part.
I mean, A, he can fight back. B, where now? You would know for a fact. That's completely false.
Gyms are more fun than you'd think.
No.
I'm serious. No. I didn't think so either.
No, I'm out. I'm just...
Okay.
So my rule on exercise is very simple. If there are points in a ball, I'm in. No points, no ball, I'm out.
My first reaction to this story was they're really getting serious about putting the weights back on the rack.
And not these wiping them down.
Wipe the seat, yeah, bro.
That's right.
All right, David. Thanks so much for the update. Oh, and by the way, you mean Trump got the claim wrong that he was absolutely going to be arrested on Tuesday? What? Really?
Weird. I heard he's going to be indicted today.
I don't think so. This guy might indict him today. This guy might indict him next week. It might not ever happen. They might wait, you know, to see if he gets the nomination, and then October of 2024. I mean, you know, who knows? Like, it's just Trump being Trump, throwing up smoke and mud, and hoping that something makes a news story that focuses on him, because he's really good at that, right? What do you have coming up, David?
Charges have been filed against the man involved in that crash that killed a PCC student. More after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. China's President Xi's three-day visit to Moscow, meeting with Russia's President Putin, is over with various joint agreements announced, but nothing concrete about a possible peace plan for Ukraine.
Xi maintains he has an impartial position on the war in Ukraine. We are always for peace and dialogue, he says. We are firmly standing on the true side of history. Departing the Kremlin, Xi telling Putin their countries are driving the biggest global changes for 100 years. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
A classmate of convicted murderer Alec Murdaugh's son Buster, Stephen Smith, is having his death in 2015 investigated as a homicide.
His mother believes he was intentionally killed, not hit by a car walking on the side of the road. Now a state law enforcement division chief also considers his death a homicide. Buster Murdaugh this week denied any involvement in his friend's death.
Fox's Sue Guzman. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. 50 degrees right now. It is partly cloudy in Pensacola. The driver of that pickup truck that hit and killed a Pensacola Christian College student yesterday on Airport Boulevard is being charged with DUI manslaughter. The Florida Highway Patrol arrested 59-year-old Oscar Martin last night. The PCC student was reportedly cleaning up around a college facility when Martin's truck veered off the road and hit him. The student died before he got to the hospital.
Like we do with any fatal crash or loss of life, we're giving 110% to this family in this case. And I know the school's even suffering as well.
That's FHP Lieutenant Jason King. Oscar Martin was booked into the Escambia County Jail last night. He's being held without bond. The city of Pensacola says a gym is being closed until further notice because of safety concerns. The Malcolm Young Gym on East Jackson is now closed. Mayor D.C. Reeves says that'll be closed at least until a comprehensive structural assessment can be done. Once the assessment is done, the city will be evaluating the results and determine their next steps. The gym is owned by the city. Staff will be working with the tenant, Lighthouse Christian Academy, to safely re-enter the building and retrieve any personal items as needed. Santa Rosa County leaders are tentatively throwing some support behind a scaled-down medical examiner's office that could be built in Milton, but they'll be waiting to make their final decision until after Escambia County commissioners discuss it tomorrow.
Anybody that thinks a medical examiner facility isn't important, I promise you this, you ain't going to have a murder prosecution. You're not going to have an insurance claim or some kind of malpractice thing or anything without a competent and professional autopsy. It ain't going to happen.
Commissioner Sam Parker there, and the board reviewed the proposal that calls for the four counties that make up the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office to each chip in $750,000 to match the state's contribution. The proposed building would be reduced to around 18 to 20,000 square feet at a cost of $14 to $16 million. A trial is going to be held later this year as the federal government still tries to stop JetBlue from merging with Spirit Airlines. A judge in Boston decided that trial will begin October 16th. If the deal does go through, it would be worth just under $4 billion. The trial would be expected to last about 4 weeks, and there would not be a jury. It is 534, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
It's going to be a beautiful day with temperatures warming up near 73 degrees. Much warmer this afternoon with plenty of sunshine. Overnight tonight, temperatures will stay in the 60s, not getting too cool through the overnight period. Still staying warm as you go into your Thursday with a high near 78, mostly sunny skies. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 67. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, partly cloudy, 50 in Pensacola, 54 in Gulf Breeze, 45 in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Listen to local talk in your morning and afternoon drive. Local experts during the day with the Pensacola Expert Panel. And national talk with Brian Kilmeade and Dave Ramsey. Listen to local news and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. Along with WEAR News during your afternoon drive and at 10 p.m. We have your traffic on the fives during your commute. And when breaking news hits, we have you covered. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck because the redesigned 2023 Subaru Outback shares your spirit. The Outback can take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. And Subaru's estimated highway fuel economy for non-turbo 2023 Outback models is up to 32 miles per gallon. And comparing information from competitors' website, the Outback has more ground clearance than Honda CR-V or Toyota RAV4. So you can take on the path less traveled with ease. And when Experian Automotive studied vehicles in operation versus total new registrations, they found that 97% of Outback vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today, which means you can explore your world with confidence. The 2023 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Actual mileage may vary. Clearance comparisons as of June 2022. Experian data for model years 2012 to 2021 as of December 2022.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3, 95.3, and on the AM dial at 1620.
Good morning. 5:37 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, sometimes belching. I'm Andrew McKay, and sometimes. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Hey, Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News,
morning,
sir.
Andrew, how are
good,
you?
Good to have you. Oh, you're still laughing at that story, aren't you? I told him a story off the air I'm not going to tell on the air. And no, I'm not going to tell you what it is, period. End of story. Anyway, I wanted to start off with this. You guys did your cold case symposium last week. How did it go?
It went very well. I talked to those of us at the sheriff's office that participated. I went down there and had a conversation with a number of the people. A lot of them I knew, you know, that throughout the years, and they all said, "Hey, it went very well." You know, there's some things to follow up on, and there's certainly some potential to eventually crack some of these cases, or at least make a lot of headway in those cases. And that's really why we do it. I don't know that I expected us to, you know, to solve all four cases in 2 days. But what we did want is this different perspective and you know, this feeling that you're doing all you can for the families of the victims.
And look, even if you don't solve one or two or all, sending the message that we never forget homicides and sending the message to the family that we are still working and we still care, I mean, those are important public safety messages as well, even if nothing, you know, even if nothing comes. And if something comes of it, then, you know, fantastic. You guys have also the kind of the gun violence roundtable that you had coordinated. You guys have picked a location to focus on. Is that right?
Yeah, if you recall, we've had two separate roundtables. The first was brought on because we had a little spree of gun violence that we were working in, Pensacola Police Department were working. And so I said, let's just get together and talk about what we can do. And so I kind of gave them the state of the criminal crime statistics here in Escambia County. And then we talked about what each elected official and each group can do. And then we had another meeting to, again, get some citizen input. And now we're at the point where, hey, if we can all do individual things, let's pick a location as a template to maybe see what works and what doesn't work, and then we can try that in other places. So we've centered on a geographical area around Brownsville. The area is pretty much half in the city limits and half in the county,
okay,
so that we can kind of use that synergy that we can all work together. We have FPL, we have the religious community, we have a number of people, and we're going to kind of discuss that at our next roundtable.
So pick a spot, work on improving the conditions in that spot, and see if we can't, build a pattern basically, right, for success that we can export to other parts of the area, and maybe do something that's going to work, right?
Well, the hope is that you push the car and you hope that momentum kind of sticks around a little bit, and with this Brownsville area, and then again take pieces of that or all of that to a different area, whether it's in the city of Pensacola or out in the county, and do something.
Try something. I support it. A couple of events that have taken place in the last week or so. One was on Finley Drive. There was a standoff on Friday.
Yeah, a lot of people were out there. What happened was an individual had gotten into a domestic situation, domestic dispute, and fired a gun during that dispute. So what we had was an aggravated assault with a firearm. And so we get an arrest warrant, and then we try to get him to come out, and he won't come out. So, obviously there was a gun involved, and we knew that. So the SWAT team was called in, and these are professionals that train for this sort of thing. For about 2.5 hours, we used a bullhorn, just like you would see on TV. Mm-hmm. Please come out. Please come out. We have we need you to come out with your hands up. Ultimately, didn't come out, and so SWAT takes it to the next level. And the next level in this situation, while not giving away too many,
sure,
too many, elements of surprise that we might use in future SWAT call-outs, we deployed some gas, and we called him out again, deployed gas, called him out again 4 times, and finally, he did have a firearm. He did fire his firearm from inside the house or the home that he was at towards where the location where our deputies were. We returned fire, and then he immediately surrendered. No one was hit, fortunately, and he's taken to for an evaluation. So that's the situation as it was. We're still evaluating whether we bring additional charges based on his firing at our deputies and what charges. And it's we're going to talk to the state attorney's office, talk to our own staff, and see if that's prudent in this particular case.
And you mentioned something compared to on TV, and one of the things that you and I have talked about this many times, and Mike Wood, we've talked about this many times, but the picture people have of SWAT is get in there, negotiate for a little while, and prepare to breach.
Right.
But the reality is that the vast majority of what SWAT does is avoid conflict, de-escalate. When no shots are fired and nobody has to kick in a door, and you can get somebody to come out and surrender safely, if that takes a half hour or 16 hours, that's a win.
Yeah, and again, it just depends on each individual situation. Our SWAT team is certainly ready to do that.
Absolutely,
just that.
We are
prepared to, to use gas. We're prepared to open a door with force if we need to. We have what we call a Bearcat or an armored personnel carrier we had out there, and we are very much capable of doing that. But as you mentioned, what we really want, and a lot of what the SWAT team does is negotiate. It's actually the negotiations team works with SWAT, and they do the negotiation. But I drove up there, and you could hear clearly from blocks away the bullhorn, please come out. We're begging you to come out. We had members of the family there, and sometimes we use them to try to call and talk to the individual that's in there, because what we want is a peaceful resolution. We don't always get a peaceful resolution.
Right.
Sometimes we have a situation where we need to go ahead and go in, especially if you have a weapon, and particularly if you have fired that weapon at law enforcement or family members. This is a situation where we're probably not going to wait the 16 hours that you talked about.
Right.
We're going to go ahead and go in there, because for all we know, the individual is asleep or had harmed himself. So in this situation, the decision was made to go ahead and breach the door. And again, I'm not giving away any secrets of the SWAT
right.
team. Everyone knows what we can, or they should know what we're capable of doing. And so hopefully if someone's inclined to engage with law enforcement and a SWAT team shows up, we're not likely to just go away. So please just give up in that scenario.
And I'll say, you've said it twice, not giving stuff away. I happen to see a demonstration of SWAT capabilities, not with your agency particularly, but I was watching, and I'm a news guy, okay? So I'm
right.
shooting video, and I get all done, and they showed me some stuff that I had never seen before. And so I went to the guy and I said, can I share that with people? It's like, it's best you don't.
And I'm like, fine, fine. You know, that's, you know, that my job is to protect your ability to do that job,
right,
as opposed to just show people something that might give a criminal a tip on how they should, you know, protect against, defend against, because that's not helpful, not helpful for anything.
Yeah, and again, well, I don't want to give away, you know, specific secrets, but the thing is, I think the residents of Escambia County need to know that they have a capable sheriff's office. They have a very capable SWAT team. That,
right,
some of the tax dollars that they pay are going towards these specialized weapons, tear gas, and you know, this the RAM that we have, and we have a thing we call the Rook, and it's a little tractor type thing that's enclosed, mm-hmm, and we can use that. We have a number of different things, and I think it's important for us to let our citizens know that you know, your tax dollars are being used in a prudent manner, and we have some capabilities that while we don't want to do it, we certainly are capable and at many times willing to do that.
And a sheriff who once upon a time did some of these things
my knee's still sore from the doors I've kicked in from either narcotics or SWAT. It's and my hearing's not as good as it used to be.
You get a text in here. Somebody says, I love the message to the bad guys about the cold case symposium. We never stop looking for you, and you will be arrested. Sheriff Simmons, one of the other incidents happened the last week was we had a threat with a shotgun at a mobile home park.
Another kind of a domestic type situation we had. We got reports of shots fired at Parrott's Mobile Home Park on Mobile Highway. We get there and we determine that the suspect and a woman were outside drinking alcohol when they got an argument. A woman said that he punched her in the face, pointed a shotgun at her, and threatened to shoot. Then he allegedly fired a shot into the front yard near her vehicle. So we get there and you know, notice that there are some injuries to her, and we end up arresting him with the aggravated assault, battery, and firing a weapon in anger, pretty much. So yeah, we've had a couple of these domestic type disputes. It probably bears mentioning, you know, we talk a lot about the homicide rates and such, and I talk about 2/3 of them are drug related, you know, stealing money or stealing drugs, but 1/3 of them are domestic related. And I guess my message would be, if you're involved in a situation that escalates to violence and you're in that, there are people that can help you. You need to get out of that, because that can escalate. I'm not saying they all escalate. I'm no expert in the field, but I can tell you that the cases that we tend to go on, there were indicators months and sometimes
this isn't
years
usually the first.
Before that. So
yeah,
that's, again, if we're talking about reducing homicides, then we can't lose sight of the fact that a lot of these are domestic related.
Absolutely. Last thing I wanted to ask you about is, I don't know if you saw this report, but the Uvalde, the police there, their argument now is they didn't go into the classroom because the gunman had an AR-15 and they didn't feel like they had the appropriate gear or weaponry to, you know, take care of him safely. I hear that, and I cannot not hear that as we're just going to let kids be shot in the classroom and we're not going to go in. But, you know, I don't know how to make any sense of that, but you tell me, you're the professional.
Well, I mean, I think that's ridiculous. I think if you look at some of the cases in the past, the Columbine and you know, Parkland, you understand that you've got to be prepared if you have a school in your jurisdiction. I know that we all have long guns and we all have you know, other things that we can use. I told our guys, I said, if you have to run the car through the front door to stop someone, then do so. You've got to make that stop. You can always make that excuse that, oh, we thought we were going to be outgunned, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm not necessarily buying it. If that's the case, as I understand that case, there was this individual was out front for an hour, maybe longer, out front of the school itself. And so there was a lot of problems with this thing from the very beginning. But if you're a law enforcement officer, we didn't stop going to NAS Pensacola during the terrorist attack because we thought this individual had a long gun. In fact, if you listen to the, mm-hmm, the radio broadcast, the reports are that he did have an AR type weapon, and a lot of our responding deputies did not have one, you know, on them whenever they got out of their cruiser cars. Ultimately, we did bring the bigger firepower there as the shooting continued. My point is, you're a law enforcement officer. You've got to act. You've got to protect our children.
And as I remember, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Sergeant Hoyland actually took the AR from the fellow officer because he knew he was, you know, and the fellow officer went with his sidearm, if I remember correctly, and the three that went in the front.
Yeah, there were a number of deputies that exchanged gunfire with him,
of not everybody was equipped, but they all went in.
Yeah, well, again, you got to go in.
Yeah.
You have to park your car, and at one point you've got to run to the threat, and that's what we expect, that's what we train, and that's what we did at NAS. And,
absolutely.
And for another fellow law enforcement officer, I use the term loosely, saying that they didn't want to go in because they felt like they were outgunned, it's just... That's not gonna be good enough for me.
Well, I held off saying it earlier. Yeah.
I think it said the same thing at Parkland. I think that the officer there
watching the guy
not
go in
behind a wall because he felt that way. But you've got to do something. How can you stand by and hearing the gunshots and the screams and live with yourself with that?
Amen. So I appreciate the way we train here. And I appreciate the message that we have here. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff, as always, sir, thanks for what you do. Thanks for keeping us safe and for spending some time telling us what's going on in the community. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. 550 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. If you have a import, you've got a BMW, a Mercedes, a Jaguar, a Lexus, and you think, man, it cost me a little bit to get them. It's going to cost me more to keep maintaining them. Doesn't have to. You don't have to take them to the dealership. And especially if that dealership is far away in a distant land like Mobile, you don't have to spend the extra money and the time and the gas to get there. You can do it right here at Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway. They take care of those cars all the time. No problem. You got a diesel engine. A little bit different. Sometimes a little bit tricky. They're great when they run well. Not so great when they don't. But look, you don't have to take that into the dealership. You can take that to Bobby Likas. They work on those all the time. Their philosophy is to see you routinely for preventative maintenance to prevent, that's why the name, the big stuff from happening. So, you see them routinely like you see a doctor for your checkup. That's the idea. Just kind of to make sure that the bad stuff doesn't happen. That philosophy is built into the name of their website, carclinicservice.com, like a healthcare clinic for your car. They're rated a 2021 Carfax top rated service center, 4.5 average reviews or above. So whatever your car care needs are, Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Banakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Banakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Banakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Banakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Banakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Banakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Fox News personality Brian Kilmeade, afternoons at 11, before Dave Ramsey, on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I do the hand signals.
You. All right, what color was the first bar? Was it?
I'm just kidding. No,
yeah,
I don't remember. Blue, yellow, golly.
Wouldn't that be a bizarre
encounters.
Thing to remember? Like, you can remember it's Richard Dreyfuss making mashed potato devil's tower, but you can't remember what color was the first bar of the notes.
Okay, there's a little girl and her dad that drive over the tracks
part.
Okay. They're from Pensacola.
Are
and
they
I,
really?
I don't know if they're still here or not.
There's
this
always
is such
a Pensacola
a long time
connection,
ago.
Whether it's Godzilla what? Destroying yeah. a town and a sub-basement industrial complex
that
doesn't exist here.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, these two.
Everybody vacations in Pensacola, including Godzilla.
Who wouldn't?
Right.
I'm saying, it's just funny. Whenever that aired, they got like a check for 67 cents or something. It was just such a that was a cute little story. But like since 77.
Aw, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Isn't
that's
neat?
Cool.
Yeah.
David Wayne's in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
The death of a teenager found near Alex Murdoch's home now being investigated as a homicide. In 2015, Stephen Smith was found dead on a rural road in South Carolina, about 15 miles from Murdoch's residence. An autopsy shows that he died after being hit by a vehicle. His family doesn't believe it was a hit and run, though. That's the continued investigation in the Alex Murdoch deal. The Federal Reserve likely raising interest rates a quarter point today. That's according to most economists. That would put the rate at 5%. Some analysts think there might be a pause in rate hikes, though, after all the recent bank collapses. And, well, yesterday, Japan claimed the victory in that World Baseball Classic. They defeated the U.S. 3-2 in the game in Miami last night. Did you get a chance to watch that?
Trout's ready. 3-2. He struck him out! Ohtani strikes out Trout.
Did I miss that? Were you just talking about it?
No.
But of course
he has the clip here ready.
But it was... No, I literally cut that clip like 20 seconds before we came back on the air, so I was just getting it ready to talk about it. That's funny. Yeah, so Shohei Ohtani, who I talked about yesterday, this superstar who pitches and hits, and he plays for Japan, and he plays with Mike Trout, another superstar, really kind of one generation back now. But, you know, he struck Mike Trout out to win the game 3-2, and Trey Turner hit another home run in that game. So that's four home runs in three games for Trey Turner. He's living life. It was pretty good. But, yeah, 3-2. And he struck him out. In fact, actually, I'm taking a gamble on this one because I didn't have it cut yet, but I have it to play. This is how the call sounded on Japanese TV. Oh, I love it.
I would watch that not even knowing what they're saying just for their excitement.
That's a good example of, like, you don't really, I mean, if you know baseball, you know what they're saying anyway. And just to hear him say it that way, it's like watching the, you know, the Mexican commentator for football when, you know, go, you know, all of that. I mean, that's...
Oh, they get excited. Yeah,
they do. It's fun.
Do you guys ever see the Bad News Bears go to Japan?
No.
Oh,
no.
Gosh.
Is that a real thing?
It is, yeah. Because I was like, they play baseball in Japan?
Thing? They do.
Yeah,
they
I know. Really I was surprised. And my dad's like,
bring down the room, Candy.
What?
David, thanks so much for the update. All right. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. Yeah. So I'm going to give you my, like, layman's non-economist understanding of what's going on today with the rate hike. Just so you kind of understand, there's a lot of context to this story about whether they do or don't raise the rate. Typically... They've been raising the rate because inflation's out of control, right? And the idea is that the economy's going too fast. You put the brakes on by making it harder to borrow money.
Right.
Okay? You raise the cost of money. You slow down the economic growth. You slow down inflation. That's the idea. But we also have bank failures. And the bank failures are making people skittish about the health of the overall economy, in particular the banking sector, which is, you know, relatively important, you know, in capitalism. So here's the thing. Normally, we would have expected them to just plain raise rates today one more time, a ninth time, in order to slow down the inflation. But if they don't raise rates, they aren't going to raise them because of concerns that the economy is actually weaker than it seems. And if you put the brakes on, you might put the brakes on going over a cliff, which is not a good metaphor mix, but I'm sorry. And so the reason they might not put the rate hike on is because of the worry, you know, about the economy. But if they don't, like, if they refrain from cutting the rate because of concerns about the banking system, that sends the message to the market, oh, we're worried about the banking system. Things are pretty fragile right now. So fragile, in fact, that we have to not cut rates, which winds up sending the economy into a tailspin because people are more afraid based on the signal that the Fed is sending about the fragility of the economy and the banking system. You follow all this? So I don't know what they're going to do today, but that's the surrounding context, is that normally you would expect them to raise rates again today. And if they do, that is a weirdly good signal about the strength of the economy. And if they do not, that is a weirdly bad signal about the strength of the economy. It might actually cause problems in the economy if they don't, weirdly, and also won't control inflation. Inflation could start coming back a little bit more. So that's kind of just it's complicated all around, but, you know, and I'm not telling you what they're going to do. I don't know. But that's kind of the context of what the significance is of this over this question whether they're going to raise the rate again today. 5:59 on News Radio 92.3. Navy Federal 5K 13th Annual comes up Saturday, April 1st, downtown Pensacola. Starts at 8, ends at the bar. That's as all good races should do. Art of Fashion 2023 17th Annual, April 6th, Thursday, April 6th, from 6 to 10 at Museum Plaza. Really wonderful event. Tickets are $100 a piece. You can get tickets and details. NewsRadio923.com.
Local talk during the day with Jenna Barr, 9 to 11, is on News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.